Welcome to the Island Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Hartberg. Jumping James Herbert. Jumping on the pod.
The pigs need controlling.
Pigs do need controlling, that's for certain. Before we get into this, I do want to divert a little bit, as, you know, 20 seconds into the show. I've been thinking a lot about toast lately. And I need outsider views on toast, because one, I'm pro toast, even though I don't really like eat a lot of bread anymore. But I'm still pro toast. I like the idea of like a good like piece of toast. But
just what do you put on your toast?
You know, I'll put a butter. I'll put a jelly sometimes. I'll put a peanut butter sometimes. Like I don't need it one way. I'll switch it up. I'm happy to do that. I guess my question is, like, I think toasters are poorly designed, because I don't know that there's ever a case where someone wants burnt toast, and I don't know how they even let that be. Like, to me, it's like a cartoon. It's like a cartoon or like a spoof show or something like that, where it's like someone's on a treadmill and it's like, oh, you know, beginner, moderate, super runner, and then it's like, you're gonna die button. Like, why would they ever put the you're gonna die button? So, like, that's what I feel like the toast equivalent is with the toaster, where it can become burnt.
So we need foolproof toasters.
I just think smart toasters. Like, it's because they even have, like, on the adjustable stuff.
Wait, like connected to the internet?
I don't know, maybe. Toaster. Like, maybe it needs to be giving, like, the latest gifs on Reddit while your toast is cooking. I don't know. Like, I'm not an inventor. All I know is that there's always these these dials or whatever that has like a clear piece of toast and then like a black piece of toast, which is clearly means like the higher it goes, the more it's going to burn. Who wants burnt toast?
Some people like slightly burnt toast.
That's different. Like, this thing's going to be charred and the smoke alarm's going to go off.
Yeah, no, nobody wants that. I like a good toaster oven. Like,
yeah.
I think those are better than ordinary toasters. I love, like, leftover pizza in a toaster oven is just, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. Yeah, I like that.
I think, like, honestly, if I was to, like, muster up my hottest take on the subject, it would be that we don't need regular toasters anymore. What is the point? We have a superior product. It is called a toaster oven.
Right.
And that is the only sort of toasting device that should be available, in my opinion.
Is it an energy efficiency thing? Like, I'm sure someone's freaking out right now. Like, you don't even understand the wattage that goes on with toasters and versus a toaster oven or an oven.
Like, yeah, but if somebody's like that, you're totally right. I don't understand the wattage that goes on.
So maybe that's the case. Like, yeah, even a toaster oven or even just like a regular oven. Like, you can throw just a piece of toast into a regular oven on the rack.
Yeah, you can do that.
For like, you know, 20 seconds or whatever, depending on the heat.
I don't like non-toasted bread, really. Like,
okay, so like you're definitely a panini guy.
Yeah, there's a sandwich place that I'll go to like a couple of times a year called Belly Busters in Toronto, and the reason why I only go there a couple of times a year is they don't their meats and their toppings are like better than what you'll find at, say, a Subway. But since they refuse to toast their bread, I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, at least give me the option. I just want the option.
Yeah.
That's the same if I'm eating out. Like, I want a sandwich. Like, I'll prefer a panini to just, you know, regular sandwich on, like, untoasted bread. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, when I had a real job, like when I worked for the court in Sacramento, I was near, like, this downtown area every mm-hmm. day. And so, like, I'd, you know, peruse the little outdoor mall or whatever, and like there was a Quiznos there, so I'd go to Quiznos every once in a while, and like you definitely benefited from a taste standpoint and just an enjoyment standpoint by having the bread toasted. I wouldn't say I need it though.
Quiznos around anymore.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I need it. Well, maybe there's a reason. I don't know. Those awful mascots they had.
Did you read that story about the Warriors from a few days ago in the Wall Street Journal about them and their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
No.
Okay, well, this is interesting, and it's sort of vaguely on topic. So they had a new training staff that came in, a new medical staff. They sort of overhauled that whole operation in the summer, which usually doesn't happen after winning a championship, but it happened. And one of the first things they did was they got rid of all the junk food that players were eating after games on the plane, and part of that was eliminating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which were just beloved. in that locker room. So there was sort of, I don't know if I'd call it a mutiny, but there was definite dissatisfaction within the Warriors organization for the first bit of the season when, you know, Luke Walton is obsessed with peanut butter and jelly, apparently Bob Myers as well. And most important, Stephen Curry loves him some PB&J. So eventually, because there was a strong movement within the team to bring back the PB&J, it was brought back. They can savor their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on the plane again, even though some of their other unhealthy snacks, that option has been taken away. So I'm happy for them. I hope they're enjoying their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I'm not sure if they're toasted, though. So that's my issue with it.
I will say this. If I'm getting peanut butter and jelly sandwich, don't toast that bread. Mm-hmm. I want, like, a cold glass of milk and the sandwich untoasted.
Cold glass of milk? That's very, I don't know what the word is.
1950s?
Yes. That's the one.
Yeah. it feels that way. But yeah, that's just like kind of like a classic throwback little meal there. Nice little snack.
Throwback to my college days, really.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad we got... Yeah, so you're with me on toast.
That Wall Street Journal article as well.
Okay.
That was one of my favorite weird stories of the year. That and the Hawks...
Oh, Uno.
Uno story.
Yeah, Mega Uno or whatever it was. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, so monitor Instagram accounts because you can get the next great story. That's what I would say.
Exactly.
all right, we're starting to veer towards basketball here. You wanted to talk about...
Yeah, we're on that track.
...the murderous king cake baby that is terrorizing the smoothie center or whatever it's called.
Smoothie King Arena?
Yeah.
Well, I need to correct you on a few things here.
All right.
Because you say murderous, you say terrorizing.
Yeah.
And I say no, just absolutely not. I think outside of New Orleans... Because the king cake baby, and if you're unaware, maybe we'll put up a photo of the king cake baby in the post here.
The hell I will. No way.
I would suggest that you do it. It's an enormous baby that's become a mascot for the Pelicans around Mardi Gras time every year. And it was designed by a guy who generally designs floats and has designed stuff for the Mardi Gras like parade or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the Pelicans asked him to design something. And he came up with this thing, and you would just think it was a giant, cute baby, if not for its sort of fearsome eyes that are pretty creepy. It's a scary-looking thing.
Yeah.
But people in New Orleans love it, and if you've monitored Instagram, like you were just talking about, if you monitored Pelican's Twitter account, you'll see that they're bringing the King Cake baby to various community events in New Orleans, and people love him. They love him there.
I don't think
and
they do.
And I think it is easy for you to say, to hell with the king cake, to hell with New Orleans' culture, to hell with their love in the community for this mascot. I just don't like it. And I think that's unfair. I think that's unfair to the city of New Orleans. I think that's unfair to the king cake baby, whoever is inside that costume.
Can I give you my
retort?
Because
that guy is bringing joy to people's lives in New Orleans every day, and I personally find the pictures hilarious. There was one last night from before the Lakers-Pelicans game where the Lakers were, like, getting set to go to the court, and you just saw King Cake Baby, like, coming out of the hallway just looking at them, and it is – that picture says far more than 1,000 words, I think.
All right, here's my retort. It's a serial killer. And babies can be serial killers. I know that for a fact because this thing,
do you?
Yeah, because this thing is a serial killer. This thing is trying to. It's not just wanting to murder your family. It like wants to make you watch the family get murdered. And it's
you have no evidence.
I've all the evidence. Look into its eyes, and it's eating. It's eating souls. It's just not.
Name one soul that it's eaten.
Jordan Clarkson, yeah. Probably. Once you look into its eyes, like, it's, you're done. Like, that's not going to happen anymore. Like, your day is ruined because you have no soul anymore. But no, the King Cake Baby, there's nothing redeeming about it. Saying people like it is, like, that doesn't mean, like...
People love it. He visited the Pelicans' offices.
What are they supposed to do?
And everybody was charmed by him.
No, you're not charmed by him. You're worried he's going to kill you.
There is... a comedian based in New Orleans named Chris True. He's like the biggest Pelicans fan alive. Like, I think he sits behind the visitors bench pretty much every game. He's written about basketball. Based on those experiences, he often like tweets photos from like behind the bench and whatever. And he interviewed the King Cake Baby, interacted with the King Cake Baby at one of these events last week, seemed to have a wonderful time, was not intimidated, was not scared, posted a YouTube video of it. I encourage you to watch it. And I saw no evidence of his soul being eaten. I did not see him fearing for his life. I did see clips of actual babies smiling at the sight of the King Cake Baby. So I fail to see the downside in the existence of this thing.
Here you
I think
go.
It's hilarious.
James, if I was standing next to Suge Knight, do you think I would say, oh my God, he's going to kill me? Or do you think I would pretend to be enjoying the moment just not to set him off?
Oh, I know what pretending to enjoy the moment looks like, and I know what genuine joy looks like. Absolutely the latter.
Are you pretending to enjoy the moment right now as we talk on a podcast?
No, I'm loving it.
All right, speaking of things that have gone horribly wrong, this Blake Griffin thing has now devolved from NBA superstar, top 10 player, out with a quad injury, out now with a broken hand after pummeling an equipment manager for whatever reason, to now you're getting trade rumors of teams calling, which apparently there was a phone call initiated by either the Denver Nuggets or the Los Angeles Clippers in which Blake Griffin being traded was discussed. All that means to me is that Denver talked to the Clippers like, hey, you into trading Blake Griffin? And they said, nope. And then talks have now ended.
But the report from Mitch Lawrence of Forbes said that the Clippers called that.
The Clippers like, could have called them about like, hey, you know, we're interested in Danilo Gallinari. Are you interested in moving him? You know? And then they're like, well, what about Blake Griffin? And they said, no, thank you. Like, that's all that could mean.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. That's not the report said. Like, the report said they called about Griffin to gauge their interest, and now the Nuggets are weighing whether or not it's worth it to make some sort of monster offer for him.
The Nuggets are undecided on this? See, that's where I don't believe it.
That's what it said.
That's what I don't
believe. I don't know.
I mean, like, yeah. Mitch Lawrence is... He can stand by his reporter. Right? Like, I just have a hard time believing that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time that... We're going to hear, like, it feels like a big trade rumor season this year. We're about 2 weeks away from the deadline. And, you know, since the equipment manager incident, the punch incident, we've kind of heard vague rumors of, like, you know, I think Zach Lowe reported the Clippers, if Jock was going to trade one of the big three, then he'd lean toward trading Blake, which, like, that, if he's willing to trade one of the big three, that's a massive caveat, right?
Sure.
So there's been stuff said about potentially they think about it. His name has been out there enough for people to dream up trades and talk about, oh, should they do like Blake Griffin for Carmelo or like whatever.
Right.
This is the first substantial thing that's linked him to another team that has suggested that the Clippers are actively seeking out deals or trying to see what the market would bear for him. So I think that is significant. I'm still kind of the mind, like, unless you get an absolute amazing set of players for him. And I think you'd want it to be more than one. Like, you would want to make this move because you think you can address multiple needs. Because I think this Clippers roster, while the starting lineup is awesome, we've talked about all year, like, they have a lot of areas where they could get better. And if they could add a ton of talent, then maybe you consider it. But I still have a lot of questions about this. I mean, like you said, like, he is still a top 10 player. That, like, him punching equipment manager doesn't change that. So
right.
I would be very careful here if I was LA.
Yeah, I just... What does it benefit them to trade him now? Like, this is the thing, when any rumor comes out, like, you have to ask, why would this rumor possibly come out? Is it just that it slipped out in passing and then, you know, you're able to source it and report it? Like, no. Like, people tell you this stuff for a reason, hoping it will get out. The problem with this is, like, all right, is this sold by the Nuggets because it shows, like, look, we are in the market for a big name guy. We have assets. We've got young guys that a lot of people like. You know, we might be moving Joffrey LeVern. We might be moving Nikola Jokic. Like, we might be Even, you know, willing to move Gary Harris if, you know, if we could get a superstar in return. Like, whatever that combination is, they've got a bunch of young assets that people like. And so, you know, how would that benefit the Clippers? Would the Clippers then be saying, hey, by the way, like, we're going to go to Denver unless anyone wants to give us a better offer? Like, no, like, I just don't see how that benefits the Clippers. I think this comes from the Nuggets side. And, you know, I don't know. Like, I just, it doesn't seem to live in a lot of reality to me.
That's a nice way to put it. I think I get the logic of it, kind of. Like, from Denver's perspective, sure, like, you want another superstar, obviously. And if you, the reason why you try to nail all these draft picks, the reason why you try to add valuable pieces on the margins, like, say, a Will Barton, who has been just fantastic for them this year,
right,
is, like, yeah, they might be a part of your own future, but the reason why you want a lot of them is you want flexibility, and if you end up developing these guys, then you can sometimes trade them for a superstar. That's how most of these superstar trades have gone in the past few years, is it's been for, like, a package of young players. It's rare that you see the straight up, like, I don't know, like the Jason Kidd, Stephon Marbury swap. Like, it's, or like even stuff that has been discussed on this podcast and other podcasts, like swapping Kyrie for Chris Paul or whatever. Like, just, you usually don't see that.
Right.
So, like, the Nuggets, I think, should be prepared to build with this group, but then they should also be prepared to pounce if somebody like Griffin is available. So that makes a lot of sense to me that they would be interested and they would try to figure out just how many of these guys they can give up. Like, do you give up Gallo and Will Barton, like, two really good wings? Like, do you try to, like, do the Clippers have any interest in Fareed? I don't know. From the Clippers' perspective, I mean, I guess at some point, as we've talked about, if it doesn't work, they'll try to shake it up. Maybe they're worried that Blake won't be fully healthy even for the playoffs. Maybe they just think that this is a decent time to try to address their depth issue. I don't know. I think it makes more sense for the Nuggets than it does for the Clippers. But I do think if the Clippers have decided we're going to see what the market's out there, can kind of return for him, then I think Denver is one of the first teams I call. Like, Denver has a lot of good players that can kind of be packaged together, and a lot of young players, and the Clippers kind of lack that. So it sort of makes sense to me. I'd still be shocked if something happened in the next 2 weeks between these two teams.
Well, I mean, here's the thing that is just funny to me is, like, all right, we had the report the other day of Woj saying, if Kevin Durant does want to leave, Doc Rivers would be interested in making a move, and that could entail a Blake Griffin for Kevin Durant swap, if all parties agreed to it. Like, that could be the thing. So you telling me at this point, if that's a possibility this summer, the Clippers are looking right now at the Western Conference saying, hey, we're a move away from competing with the Warriors and the Spurs, and that move includes moving Blake Griffin for young guys, instead of, we'll wait 4 months and then we're going to see if, like, Kevin Durant wants to come play with Chris Paul. Like, that's why none of that makes sense to me.
Well, I mean, that depends just how realistic it is that Durant would go there, right?
Right. Well, even, like, but that doesn't matter. Like, if you think that is a possibility of, like, hey, we're going to dangle that carrot out there in the summer and just see, like, we don't know how realistic it is, but we're going to dangle that. Like, if that is your plan, your backup plan is not before then going to Denver and saying, hey, we really like Kenneth Fareed and Will Barton. Like, that just, sure. None of that makes sense.
I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue that taking a package, even if it's like a pretty big, even if it's like Fareed, Gallo, Barton, and a pick or something, like, which I think would be a pretty good deal. Like, even if it's something like that, that's obviously pales in comparison to the opportunity to add,
right,
like, Kevin freaking Durant to your team.
Right, because you're then not flipping those dudes for Kevin Durant this summer.
No, of course not. I'm just not sure that, like, you're talking about living in reality. I'm just not sure that living in reality leads me to believe that Durant actually has much of a chance of going to the Clippers. Like, that's just,
yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know how much I would believe that in the first place. I think the idea is kind of cool for both sides, like, if that ended up happening. But, like you said, like, those Chris Paul for Kyrie Irving trades, like, just don't happen all that often.
It's,
like, you don't get star for star all that often. And so, because of that, like, it's just funny to me to think, like, well, I could go get Kevin Durant this summer or have an opportunity to talk him into it. Or, I don't know, Kenneth Faried's been dunking pretty hard lately.
Yeah, he was really good
at Team USA a year and a half ago. I don't know how that makes sense.
The other interesting thing with all of this Blake talk is, like, he has an early termination option after next season. So any team, whether it's the Nuggets or whoever, if he does become available, which, like, let's just kind of, like, repeat this. Like, we're not actually sure how available he is, right? Even if the Clippers
I have a pretty good idea. I have a pretty good idea how available he is right now.
Yeah, I mean, any team that, if he was available, any team that went after him would have to be fairly confident that they could convince him to stay beyond next year.
Right.
And if the Nuggets completely gut their roster to get him, then I'm not sure that they necessarily would have the remaining core that's good enough for him to want to stay and play there. Maybe. But I think we'd have to know what the pieces involved were. And I think that'd be the same if we were talking about, like, the Celtics or, like, whoever of these teams that have kind of stockpiled assets or whatever.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm just not buying it.
You're just not buying it.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, just trying to think that thing through of, like, we may go after Kevin Durant this summer, or, you know, Gary Harris has been balling for the last 2 months. Like, it just, like, no offense.
Harris has been balling.
Yeah, he's good. He's just, you know, not a 6'11 combo guard who's setting records for scoring. Like, he's just not that.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. What other trade rumors are there? We've got the Bucks. All right, we've got the Bucks, who I'll see tonight. We got the Bucks willing to trade Michael Carter-Williams and Greg Monroe, allegedly.
A lot has changed since the summer with these Milwaukee Bucks.
I don't know. I was around the team a little bit yesterday. Like, I didn't hear anything about that, but that wouldn't shock me if they just realized, like, hey, this has hurt what we built last year. And you know, if we can get assets for them and, like, we can maybe kind of reset and build towards, you know, the identity that we thought we were cultivating, that these guys just happen to not, you know, fix or fit into or whatever, however you want to describe it. And, you know, you and I maybe differ a little bit on Michael Carter-Williams, but, like, I don't think he's very good, you know? Like, I don't know that I'd want him starting on my team, regardless of, like, where I am in the league. And then Greg Monroe, I've never been huge on. Like, I think he can work next to another really good big, but as your sole big, you know, that's tough because of the defensive problems.
Yeah, I think. Well, I mean, the problem with them is clear, right? Like, they have these two guys, but they don't have enough shooting around them for them to, like, really make sense on their team.
Right. Like, and you have Chris Middleton. Like, maybe Giannis becomes a really good 3-point shooter at some point.
Maybe Giannis and Jabari both do, but neither of them are there.
Yeah, like, well, Jabari, like, doesn't even think about shooting threes.
No.
Because they don't ask him to. I mean, that's the reason. Like, they don't ask him to. Like, they don't ask me to shoot threes, so I'm not going to shoot threes. Like, my job is to do this, this, and this. And so, because of that, like, I think they have, like, you know, you can look at Jared Bayless and be like, that guy can shoot. Like, I would trust him mostly with a 3-point shot. Like, OJ Mayo, you trust mostly with a 3-point shot. Middleton, obviously. Giannis, probably. I think Jabari can develop into that. But, like, that's not like having a team. I guess Rashad Vaughn should be a shooter.
Should be, yeah.
But,
I just think...
But from, I mean, where
they
are... We talked
about it before. Like, they lost their identity.
Yeah.
Like, they obviously did. And if they can... I don't think we've seen anything this season that shows us they should be married to this roster and this particular core.
Right.
Right? So...
You like that core.
Sniff around for deals.
Yeah, you like the idea of that core of, like, Jabari, Giannis, Middleton, right? Like, I don't know if those are your three best players moving forward, but those guys kind of all fit in some fashion.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're obviously still waiting for the other two to figure out the shooting thing, but I think it can work, and I don't think you have to give up on that yet. But I just think... You know, with Monroe in there, it's been a little awkward. I don't think he's been bad. Defensively, I don't think he's been good. But I'm just not sure that the fit is what they hoped it would be.
Right.
And it makes sense that they'd be looking to see what's out there. And that doesn't mean that they have to sell Monroe just to get rid of him.
Yeah, you're not taking, like, 20 cents on the dollar here. Like, you're... yeah. You're looking for value.
But I think you can kind of salvage that signing with a trade. Like, if you trade him for good players that fit with what you're doing, and then you just move on and acknowledge that it didn't work, then I think you can still feel good about, like, you know, you use your cap space unconventionally. Like, you signed a guy and then traded him, like, a few months later. But if they get guys that actually fit in with what they're doing, like, maybe that makes sense.
And, yeah, and some people would look at that as, like, failure, but I look at that as, like, smart. Like, okay, you took a shot on it. It's maybe not working the way you thought. Maybe you have to recalibrate things. To be stubborn and be like, no, we're going to keep this guy and show you that it works for 3 years. Like, no, if you can move him and get good, yeah. you know, decent value in return and then get back to more of what you thought you were going to be, like, that shows intelligence. Like, that's a stubbornness that, like, you just don't need that kind of stubbornness. Like, you need to be able to adapt and admit that if you feel you made a mistake, like, you don't need to, hey, we're going to show you that it was a mistake. Like, no, it's okay that it, yeah. it's okay that it was a mistake. And then you correct it before everyone else realizes, like, oh, no, this is someone we should hope they're stuck with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can be that afraid to fail in the NBA to the point where you hang on to your
right.
maybe bad decisions, like, way too longer than you should. I just don't think that's a winning strategy.
And I mean, as bad as David Kahn was, like, he did punt pretty early on Johnny Flynn and Wes Johnson. Now, he didn't get, like, he didn't really get good value in return for it, but, like, it just, that idea of, like, oh, no, I screwed this up. Like, let's get him out of here. Like, I think that's smart.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to do that. I mean, like, right. the Hornets, like, were made a huge deal out of getting Lance Stephenson, and, like, that was supposed to be the piece that made them this elite team in the Eastern Conference last year, and they rebranded, and it was this whole big thing, and the season was a massive disappointment, and then they just got rid of him the first chance they could.
Yeah, like, 2 months in, they were like, oh, no, this isn't going to work at all.
Yeah, I mean, you heard the rumors, like, right after the season started that he right. might be traded back to Indiana.
Right.
I mean, that didn't happen. He lasted the season, but, I mean, I think that you need to be able to – you can't be married to your, like, big decisions, right? Like, you have to figure out a way to move on if that makes sense.
Right.
And I'm not saying that Monroe can never work there. There might be other tweaks that they can do to the roster. But when I saw their report, like, they're looking to trade Carter – like, maybe Carter Williams and maybe Monroe, that I wasn't, like, oh, like – like, I wasn't shocked. Like, based on the way they've started the season and the way expectations are, like, of course they're going to be looking to do something.
Right, yeah. And I just, you know, you have so many things that look good with that Bucks team mm-hmm. and then things that don't. Like, it's, you know, you'd want them to correct it. And because, that was a fun team last year. That was a really fun team.
Yeah, and they still have lots of pieces that are left over from that. Like, they don't have everybody.
Right.
But I don't think they're more than a move or two away from being, like...
Back to where they were, significantly
right? better. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. I don't mind that idea. How real it is, I don't know, but I don't mind that idea of them kind of recalibrating that. And then the Cavs want Jared Dudley, which I'm a fan of. I think everyone should want Jared Dudley.
I was gonna say, like, he's one of those guys that can fit on any team, and I think that's a testament to how his game's evolved over the years. And I think he's missed by those very same Milwaukee Bucks. I think they probably wish he was still there.
Yeah.
He's really valuable, I think, to any sort of playoff team. And I think he proved in Milwaukee that he's good as a veteran leader as well. He's a good podcast guest. He was just on JJ Redick's podcast.
Yeah.
Kind of talked about his time in Milwaukee and how he tried to bring along the young guys and he thought that would add value. And I think that's true, but I think for a team like Cleveland, just getting another wing player who can defend and shoot threes, I mean, those are generally the players you want to surround LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love with. So if they can do it, that makes sense. But if you're the Wizards, like, what are you getting back? And I don't think the Wizards are going to punt the season or anything.
Right.
So I think there has to be some sort of deal that actually makes sense if you're going to trade a guy like that. Because I don't think, like, it's that easy to find guys like Jared Dudley, and I think that, like, Milwaukee would like a couple more.
Yeah, no,
for
like,
example,
wings are, you know, wings are actually kind of tough to come by. Like, the,
yeah.
you know, a good wing who can play some defense and hit threes for you, like, that's the new, like, hot commodity. It's not, oh, you know, it used to be like, oh, centers are dying out. There are no good centers anymore. At least, no, there's a lot of good centers. Like, there aren't that many good wings. Like, they're a little.
How much did Jay Crowder get in free agency? Because that was a
535, which is, yeah, which, oh my god, like, he'd get double that.
Yeah,
he'd get double that this summer. Like, it's like,
yeah,
what?
535.
Yeah. He got that. That's Kyle Singler money.
That was a good deal.
That's Kyle Singler money right there.
I mean, it's nuts. Like, that guy, like, you had people arguing that he should have deserved All-Star consideration. Like, if
you're I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Like, let's pump the brakes a little bit.
I'm saying people said it. I'm not saying I wasn't.
People said it, or like Celtics fans said it.
No, they're a big name.
I need to know
reporters and writers that said it.
I need names.
But but look, if you are a guy like Dudley, even if you don't have the sort of upside that a young Jay Crowder has or whatever, like there will be teams in the market for you. I just wonder, like, the Wizards are just in such a weird place. And I'm not really sure what they're looking for, what they should be looking for, if they want to continue to try this fast-paced thing. I think they need to make several changes, but I think Dudley can probably fit into that more than other people because he can hit a three in transition.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what to make of that.
I don't think they should trade him, but I do think Cleveland should try to trade for him. I like that move.
I can agree with that statement.
Adam Silver may be coming around. I almost called him David Silver, which would have been a cool, like, 90210 reference. But Adam Silver saying we may see a change with the hack-a-player rules, which is encouraging.
Thank God.
But I don't think it sounded like from the USA Today report, like, we're not going to get an outright, like, outlaw of it. Like, it's just, it may be, like,
certain tweak.
I don't know. I mean, it is really boring. And, the people who say, oh, just make free throws, not a big deal. Right, of course, like, making your free throws would be ideal. The people who say, like, you're taking away the incentive to learn to be a good free throw shooter, please stop saying stupid things. Like, don't make a stupid argument. There are arguments to be made about that. That's not one of them. Because we're not eliminating free throws. Like, that's the thing. We're not eliminating free throws. You're just eliminating a chance where a guy, like, plays freeze tag with someone, and then they have to go to the free throw line. Like, all we're trying to do is make it more about basketball and more of a flow of a game, because it is entertainment, it is a business, and you don't want things dying off because of this horrible loophole that you can keep doing. Like, it's just like the tanking thing. If you want to take away tanking, just like you want to take away, you know, this hacker rule, like, if you want to take away tanking, make the lottery unweighted. That'll take it away.
Yeah.
You know, no one's passing up on playoff revenue to have, like, a 1 in 14 shot at getting the number one pick. Like, no owner is doing that. And so that's not, like, that's not going to be a thing. That's not going to be a trend or anything. You may get that, like, once in a 50-year span, but that's not going to happen for the most part. With this hacker rule, like, just make it an intentional foul rule. Some people say, like, oh, well, then then we're leaving up to refs to determine what was intentional, what wasn't. We do
it's
that
not
anyway.
That hard to
well, we do
out.
That anyway.
Yeah.
The refs are up to, like, it's their job to interpret the game within the set of rules that have, you know, sort of vague guidelines. Like, that's, we're already doing that. What's one more thing?
Also, if somebody's, like, trying to get, like, a non-consensual piggyback from a guy,
right? Well, I think that's the thing that they're going to change from what the report said. Like, that's probably the change we're looking at. Which is a step in the right direction.
And then you're seeing these, like, the fouls away from the ball that we've been seeing for years. Like, it's plainly obvious to anybody what is going on. And sure, there are other little tricks that teams will do, but I think eliminating the big ones would still go a long way.
Well, it's just dumb too. Like, what? You know, Dwight Howard can be jockeying for position with the ball in the post, trying to, like, spin and hit a drop step and put up a hook or a dunk or whatever, and guys are slapping him across the arm, and it's not a foul, right? Because, like, he's bigger, so you have to judge him a different way. But if someone goes up and taps him on the shoulder, fit, you know, 50 feet away from the basket, like, then we're like, oh, right, they're fouling. Like, that's just dumb. Like, that's so dumb to me.
It's nuts. I think it's got to be changed. I was in a scrum when Dwayne Casey was asked about it like a week and a half ago, and he was like, well, what's it happened to? Like, three players? Like, I think make your free throws. And like, the numbers are out there now. Like, Kevin Pelton had tweeted, like, maybe the night before he said that, there have been 27 people in the NBA that have been hacked this season. That included guys like Amir Johnson. Like, that included, like, I was watching a game where Cole Aldrich, who's like a career, like, 70-something% free throw shooter. His form is ugly, but he makes them.
Right.
And he was hacked. And, like,
Clint Capella hacked. Like, you know, there are guys that it's not just these three. Also, you're not changing the rule for those three players. You're changing the rule for millions of fans who want to watch a game. That's what you're changing the rule for. Like, this is still entertainment. And they should be put, like, it doesn't mean like, hey, now we're going to have a Rockin' Jock feel to it. Like, it's not that. Like, we have to stop doing the slippery slope, go to extremes thing. Like, it's, no, let's be honest about what this is.
Yeah, it's also like, what are fouls for? Like,
right.
Like, the reason why fouls exist is to make the game not some sort of violent tackling exhibition and to make it actually about the sport of basketball.
Yeah.
So if fouls are not used for that purpose, if fouls are used to basically put it back in a situation where it's not about the sport of basketball and instead devolved into a free throw shooting contest, then I think that's just not the purpose of them. And that's not why we have the rules. And I think it's very easy to make adjustments based on that. There have been lots of subtle rule changes made in order to enforce the spirit of right. the rule. Like, there was, I mean, I saw a play last night where somebody took like a shot after they were fouled. I think it might have been Iguodala. Maybe this is two nights ago. And it went in, but it was like he very obviously wasn't going to take that shot from like wherever he took it from if somebody hadn't touched him. And a few years ago, they would have probably given him continuation anyway,
right.
but they curtailed that because it was very obviously against the spirit of the rule. And this is the same sort of thing. Like, it's clearly a problem. I'm glad Silver's coming around. I really thought it was going to get changed coming into this season. I was disappointed when it wasn't. So let's just fix this thing. I'm tired of talking about it.
Yeah, and it does come to like a competition committee thing, and there still has to be support of changing it. But I think we'll at least see tweaks.
No, but this was what Van Gundy said in his great rant a couple of months ago, is when they made the rule changes to speed up the game and to get rid of hand checking, most of the league was against it. So David Stern formed this other committee with people who he knew would vote with him because he had the power to do that.
Bring and back Jeff Stern.
Van directly said, yeah, no, but Van Gundy directly said, that's what Adam Silver needs to do. Who cares if you don't have the support? Just get it through, push it through, and people will like it eventually, because there was not support across the league. They thought, I mean, I remember reading stuff at the time. I was young, but I was still like reading like coaches saying like, oh, zone defense is going to kill the game, and oh, you can't get rid of like blah, 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 blah. And like that, it was obviously for the better.
Yeah, it's worked out.
I think this would work out too.
All right, we have our All-Star Saturday Night participants. I'm still upset.
We do.
I actually like Shooting Stars competition. I did. Really? I like a half court. I like something that becomes like half court shooting. You know me. I like distance.
I was kind of hoping it would be replaced with something. I guess the big man element is sort of replacing. I was hoping there'd be some sort of twist in compensation for losing that. I'm not really upset that it's gone. Like, it's kind of fine to me. I feel a little bit bad that Team Bosch doesn't get to defend their title.
Yeah, like I feel like they should storm the court. I think Bosch should storm the court with his team. And then just challenge, like, have people there that he can challenge. Like, all right, the Hardaways and, I don't know, Swin Cash or somebody, like, whoever's not on his team. Like, all right, you guys, we challenge you to this. And then they just set it up. Like, I want like, a barnstorming Shooting Stars
competition. Like an unsanctioned.
Stars.
I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah, and they bring the trophy. Like, there's probably still a trophy, right? Like, they bring a trophy or an award or a plaque or something and just, like, put it up. Like I want this to happen. So, Chris, if you're listening,
you don't even need a trophy. Just have like a sandwich.
You know what?
Get a sandwich.
Make a championship belt.
Yeah, you can do that.
Make a belt.
Do you think Bosch's inclusion into the 3-point competition is sort of like, you don't get to do Shooting Stars anymore, but here you are.
But we like your weirdness, so we want you in a competition anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. I mean, he is a good 3-point shooter. He's doing well this year.
Of course.
But yeah, I think that's. That's something. Someone was mad. Like,
I'm a little worried, though, because the last time that he played here, and every time he's played here in Toronto, he's gotten booed. And
yeah.
I'm not sure if it'll go the same way at like during the All-Star game and during the 3-point shootout, because normal fans really can't get into these things. But if there are enough people in there that are actually from Toronto and still care that Bosch left... And he might end up getting booed, and that'll be unfortunate because he does not deserve that.
Yeah, get over it, Toronto. Come on.
Yeah.
Get over yourself. Just recognize, like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to love Chris Bosch, but the booing is terrible. And also,
no, you have to love Chris Bosch.
I mean, you should. Like, you're a stupid person if you don't love Chris Bosch, but stop it. Here's my message. Stop being stupid, Toronto.
Yeah, great message.
Great message. That'll really endear the listeners.
Yeah, no, I mean, I live in Toronto. I endorse it. Stop being stupid.
I think you should. We should film you just walking around Toronto, like telling people, "Don't be stupid about Chris Bosh."
Don't be stupid about Chris Bosh.
Just accosting them.
You forgave Vince. You forgave McGrady.
Right.
Forgive Bosh.
Yeah, exactly. How's that so hard? For the skills challenge, the Taco Bell skills challenge, we have big men, like you said. We've got Anthony Davis. We've got DeMarcus Cousins. We've got Draymond Green. We've got Karl-Anthony Towns. And then we've got Jordan Clarkson, Isaiah Thomas, CJ McCollum, and defending champ, Patrick Beverley.
Shout out to the Basketball Jones for asking for this like 5 years ago.
Yeah. They've been on this.
And then continuing when they became the starters to like to ask for this year after year. And now it's happened.
Here we are.
I don't think it would have gone down without them.
Who do you think wins? Who's your pick?
Are we clear on the rules here?
No.
Like, is there a big man division and the small guys, and then, like, one of them meets the other?
It doesn't sound like there is. It does seem a little unfair.
If they just threw the big man into the competition and didn't change anything, that would seem weird.
Right. Or do they get, like, a 5 second head start?
I don't know if they'd even want that. Like, I think Draymond Green would be like, screw that. Like, we want the same rules.
I think Cousins wants it.
But I thought it was going to be, like, two divisions and that, like, you know how they did the East and West?
Yeah.
And then they met in the final. I thought that's what they were going to do. I could be wrong. But if it's like that, I'll take Draymond. And then I'll take – what was it? It's Beverly, Clarkson
– McCollum and McCollum. And Isaiah, your boy.
I'll go with Isaiah. Isaiah and Draymond.
And then who wins? Because you know they're going to have to square. Or is this, like, the stupid dunk contest when they just had teams?
No, I'm sure.
And no one actually won? I know technically, like, I think John Wall was the champ, but, like, no one actually won.
Yeah, no one won. I'm taking Isaiah on this thing.
Okay.
I think this is the weekend of Isaiah. The 60th pick.
Wow.
All-star.
Wow.
And skills competition winner.
All right. I'm going Team Towns. I think Towns takes it all.
Team Towns.
Team Towns. Three-point contest. Steph Curry's back. Shocker. To defend his title. And we've got Klay Thompson, James Harden, J.J. Redick, Devin Booker, Chris Bosh, Kyle Lowry, and Chris Middleton.
I'd like to take a second here. This is not really about the contest. Okay. But you were a fan of Kyle Lowry when he was like a bulldog backup point guard that just played like really good defense and just drove to the rim every time, yeah?
Yeah, that's my guy.
Like that.
I was a huge fan of Villanova, and then he started with Memphis.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of when I really like. I was like, oh, this guy can actually play. Like, he isn't just like one of those random college guys I like. Like, he can really play.
He can play. But I never knew that guy was going to become like this guy. Like, I never knew he was going to become.
Yeah, I don't know that I ever thought he was like
all-star starter for 2 years in a row.
Right. Like, I never thought he was like perennial all-star. Like, I thought he could make an all-star game.
But his career changed because before his fifth season, the Rockets told him, like, you get a 3-point shot or you don't play.
Right.
Right. And that's a story I had kind of heard off the record before, but I think he mentioned it on a podcast on the Low Post like a month ago or whatever. Like that's out there. Like his career totally changed.
Yeah.
Because he spent like a whole summer working on his 3-point shot. He came in, and then he was a completely different player. And I just think it's amazing. Like, you know, we've talked about this subject many times. Is like when guys are young, like it's really easy to write them off, and it's really easy to say, well, he can't shoot, he can't do this, he can't do the other thing. And some guys they can't shoot, and then suddenly they can, and then they're completely different. And that elevated him from like one of the better backup guards in the league to like just a good starting caliber guard. And eventually when he put it all together, like a perennial all-star.
Yeah.
And I think it's like really like crazy. And it's really cool that this guy who for 4 years, it wasn't just his rookie year. It was for 4 years. He could not shoot threes.
Yeah.
And now he takes 30 footers off the dribble. Sometimes like Steph, he hit 7 threes in a game the other night. And he's in the 3-point shootout. And I just think like that is just a testament to how he improved his game and improved his shot. And it's just one of those things. It's like, we look at these young players, like if Marcus Smart is in the 3-point shootout in 5 years, it's sort of the same thing, right?
Yeah. I like that. I like the comparison.
Yeah, like you would not expect that, but it can happen.
Yeah, it is cool to see guys like develop like that, especially like if you liked him early on. It's not like a, oh, I knew he was going to be good. It's just it's fun seeing guys that you enjoy watching get so much better like that. Like, you know the hard work that they have to put in order to become that good, that consistently.
Yeah, and he would have still been a good player. There just would have been a ceiling.
Right.
Right? Like, there just would have been a definite ceiling.
Much lower ceiling, just, yeah.
Yeah, like some, like, when you're a guard that can't shoot, then that harms your offense. And they gave him the confidence, and he put the work in, and it's just, yeah, like, that's when, even when he's in Houston, like, even back then, like, he was a different player than he is now. But there were some people arguing, like, yeah, he's sort of, maybe he should make an all-star team, like, when he was in his fifth or sixth year.
Yeah, he was good.
It took a while. Yeah, it took a while, but he's fully there now, and he's starting for the East for his second year in a row.
Yeah, he's good. So you're taking him in the three-point contest?
I can't pick against Steph.
Yeah.
I just can't.
I kind of want to go Clay, and then part of me wants to go Devin Booker. But
part of me wants to take Booker, too.
Yeah, no, I'll just go Steph. And if I'm wrong, whatever. But Steph's just too...
Yeah, no.
Of all the years that he's going to be in the three-point contest, like, this would be the one, like, where you feel like he's definitely going to win.
Yeah, and I mean...
He's hit 233 so far. Like, this is...
Yeah, I mean, it's hilarious looking, like, when they put out... I don't know if it was, like, on the press release or on NBA.com or whatever, but there was, like, a chart of all the three-point shootout competitors, and then it showed, like, their percentage and their... makes and misses this year, and Steph was just so far beyond anyone else in terms of the threes he's taken and the threes he's made. And Harden had a lot of attempts too, but Steph is just on a whole other level.
Yeah, and then the old.
So I can't, like, I just, anything involving shooting, like,
you gotta get Steph
shooting. Like, if it was a competition where they're just shooting the half court shot, like in Shooting Stars, I would take Steph. Like, I don't care.
Right. Shooting. That's true. All right, and then we have the dunk contest. Andre Drummond, who you and I are not terribly excited about, Will Barton, Aaron Gordon, and Zach LaVine, defending champ.
Why do they keep insisting that we need big men?
Look, there have been, like, I don't know, in the last, let's just say 20 years, there have been three really impressive big men in the dunk contest, right? There was Dwight, there was... Serge Ibaka, and there was JaVale McGee. Like, those guys were great. Great in the dunk contest. But other than that, like, even Amari wasn't that good. Like, Steve Nash was doing some cool soccer stuff, so we're like, oh, hey, Steve Nash is out there, he's an MVP. But, like, even that was not... Like, Amari wasn't that good. Like, Chris Anderson certainly wasn't good.
Anderson was a disaster.
But it's hard
even, I got sick of Dwight's thing by the end of it. Like, it just seemed like he did one dunk contest too many.
Yeah, no, definitely. He definitely did.
And, I mean, Ibaka was pretty good. Like,
I thought Ibaka was great. I really thought JaVale was just crazy inventive.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Like, dunking on two hoops. The
Plumlee thing did not make any sense last year.
No, Plumlee was horrible. Like, they got the wrong net. They needed Markel Brown, like, not Mason Plumlee.
Yeah. So, I mean... And the other thing is, I think they like when big names do it, and Drummond is like an emerging star, and he is an all-star.
I don't think he's going to be bad necessarily. I just don't, like, you can be like somewhat entertaining without a chance to win. I think he has zero chance to win unless Zach LaVine like misses all of his dunks.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm not super happy about the result of him being in it, but I could still picture him ending up like okay.
Yeah.
But the process, it just feels to me like every year they're deciding who's going to be in it, and they're like, we need a big man.
Right.
Who's going to fill that big man quota? And if I'm right, and if that's the case, then I hate it. Because that's just not necessary. Just get the best dunkers.
Yeah, also, like, he's an insane athlete. He can do some cool stuff, but I don't know. Like, it's just, I would have rathered someone else.
Yeah. Also, like, do we only need four? Like, why are we stuck with only four guys?
Like, see, this is the problem where they were trying to figure out, like, how do you make the dunk contest cool again? They kept messing with the format, like... And you get to a point where it almost feels like we hope for a cool moment, we just want to get it over with. Instead of fielding like a real group of players to do it. Like, at least I'll say this, like, you know, outside of my feelings about Drummond and the dunk contest, I think Barton's going to be really fun. I think Aaron Gordon can challenge Zach LaVine, and then Zach LaVine's like one of the greatest ever.
Yeah.
But so Gordon's interesting. I think the field is good, But I think you could also expand it to 6 or 8 guys and have a really fun competition.
And I just think nobody's upset if Drummond's one of the 8.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But he's one of the 4. It's like.
Yeah, or even one of the 6 or whatever. Like, it's having like, all right, he's 25% of the contest. Like, that's not great.
Yeah. There are guys like, I thought there was going to be more of a movement for this because I was sort of led to believe that there was going to be more of a movement in Toronto to get Norman Powell, a rookie who.
Yeah, he'd be fun.
Up until a couple of games ago, never played, but now he's starting because of injuries. That guy can fly. Like, I've seen him do some stuff after practices.
Yeah, he can do some insane stuff.
He really wanted to be in it. And you know what? Like, if there's 4 people in the contest, I totally get the NBA not wanting to put this guy in who's a second-round pick and is unknown. And even in Toronto, where it's happening, a lot of people don't really know much about him. Like, I get that. But I think by opening it up to more participants, especially when you just axed an event this year.
Right.
Like, I don't see why this can't be longer.
This can't be a time constraint.
Yeah, like, if you open it up to more participants, then I think you can have a couple of guys in there, like, that don't play a lot but can dunk like crazy. Like, Harold Miner, I don't think, had, like, a huge role.
No.
I don't think Gerald Green.
Harold Miner couldn't play at all.
Yeah, like, I don't think Gerald Green did, and it's like, sometimes you just want the great dunkers in it. And
yeah.
Like, I would have liked to see Norman Powell. Like, Markel Brown last year, sort of the same deal. Like, pretty much exactly the same deal. So he played a bit more.
Mario Hezonja said he wants to be in it and that he would win it. Like, Mario Hezonja should be in it.
Yeah. I just think there should be more guys. And that doesn't mean it's going to be a bad contest. I think any contest with Zach LaVine is going to end up being really good.
Yeah. Barton's a fun personality. He'll get the crowd into it. He'll do some, like, he can do some crazy stuff. So I think he'll be good in it. I'm a little worried that he's more of a game dunker than like a creative dunker. But I think the personality, like, part of that is getting the crowd into it, right? And getting the reactions that kind of boost the scores a little bit. Like, I think he can do that. Aaron Gordon is great. Like, he can do some sick stuff in a dunk contest.
I'm trying not to get my hopes up too high about Will Barton just because the Shannon Brown experience scarred me.
Or even Giannis, right? Like, Giannis couldn't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was not great either. And I think the potential is there, but I think that's one guy that it really could go either way. I think Gordon will not be bad.
No.
You know?
Like, he would have been in last year.
Maybe he won't end up.
If he hadn't been injured, right?
Yeah. Like, you can watch his college dunk contest, high school dunk contest. Like, he can do some stuff.
Yeah.
He does, like, behind the back and between the leg dunks really easily. People have been comparing him to Blake Griffin for, like, years, and that's part of the reason. Like, he's huge.
He's
really graceful and powerful.
Like, yeah. He does this double pump where he puts it behind his head and then brings it below his crotch and then brings it back up for a reverse dunk. Yeah. That's, like, it almost looks like it's CGI. Like, for how he almost like he kind of pauses it at both points as he goes, like, it's crazy. Like, he can do some fun stuff.
Yeah. So he's also an emerging really good player.
Yeah, he's good. He should play more.
I'm excited about.
Yeah, I like him a lot. And then who's your winner?
I mean,
it's Zach LaVine. Come on, just say it. Like, it's Zach LaVine. He's gonna win it.
Andre Drummond, totally.
No, he had 2 dunks planned last year that he didn't end up doing that are just, like, if you can pull them off.
Well, he was saving them.
They're sick. Like, they're just
saving them for this year.
They're like, everything he did last year was jaw dropping. Like, these are maybe better.
Yeah.
If he does them, so I'm excited.
I think he'll do something like really corny. Like, he'll bring out like mini CN Tower and, like, dunk over it.
I think Drummond's gonna do that. Maybe a cool dunk for Drummond would be, like, getting his shoulders waxed as he's in the air.
Oh my god.
Maybe that'll be something he does.
Norman Powell would have dunked over Drake, probably.
Yeah, probably. Oh, maybe.
I didn't hear that. I'm just saying that.
Maybe, here's what LaVine should do. Do the dunk, the between the legs dunk, where someone's holding the ball out, but he has Bieber hold the ball out.
That could work.
That could work.
Or Wiggins, although Wiggins maybe just won't want to be there because everybody wants him in it and is really mad at him.
Yeah. He's not going to say yes. If he's not saying yes in Toronto, he's never doing this. Like, this is going to become a LeBron situation where we always want him to do it and he'll never do it. Okay, so you've got... You've got Isaiah, the weekend of Isaiah.
Yes.
You got Isaiah, Steph, and Zach, and I've got Towns, Steph, and Zach.
Yeah.
And Blake Griffin.
I mean, we're picking like the heavy favorites here, you know.
I'm not going to try to be cool and different and be like, I don't think Zach LaVine wins a dunk. No, of course I think Zach LaVine wins a dunk contest this year.
Yeah, I mean, same.
And of course I think Steph. Like, I don't. It's not that I think the other shooters in the 3-point contest can't beat Steph. Like, I think they can. I think it'd be cool if Devin Booker won it. You know, like, but I just...
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great.
I'll go with the best 3-point shooter of all time, and then if he loses, he loses. I'll feel comfortable
with
that.
Also, this is your yearly reminder to watch the D-League dunk contest.
Yes!
Sometimes better, and always almost as good.
Yeah, it's really good. It'll be on, what, NBA TV?
Yeah.
I think that's what it's on, yeah, and that's on... That's during the day
on
Saturday.
It's on, like, they do it when the All-Star game... when the D-League All-Star game happens, they do it at halftime.
Right.
It's really great.
Should they do that in the NBA? Have the dunk contest at halftime? That might be kind of fun.
I mean, you're asking them to give up an event, basically. Because right now they get to have two things that are huge and watched.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Attended by many people.
That's true.
But it would be cool.
It would be cool. That's maybe like a 35-minute halftime, though. I don't know. You can't do that.
They'd have to get rid of the halftime show.
Which is Sting?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can get rid of Sting.
Totally great halftime show.
How are they having Sting and not Bryan Adams?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're going that route.
Right, like you're in Canada. Like, it's just, like, I just can't think of one Sting song I hope to hear at halftime.
Did we talk about the Kristaps Sting thing?
No, but you put up a picture, right?
Yeah, well, okay, so the day that was announced, the Knicks were in Toronto. And at shoot around, everyone was being asked what they thought of Sting being the halftime entertainment. And nobody was enthusiastically positive unless they were clearly just faking it.
Right.
Which, like, I want to be clear. Like, I'm not, like, hating on Sting or anything. I just think he's a really strange choice for All-Star Weekend. But Kristaps initially was like, who is that? I don't know. And then when the scrum ended, he was kind of like, is it weird that I don't know? Like, is it a weird choice for All-Star? And everybody assured him, no, like, you're really young. It is not strange that you don't know who Sting is. And yes, it is a really weird choice for the All-Star game. And he was like, okay. And then the Knicks PR guy took out his phone and started playing like Roxanne or something. And Kristaps took the phone and listened. And he was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I know this song. It's on the radio all the time. So he didn't know. Like, I also asked him if he knew who the Police were, and he looked at me really quizzically. Like, he was like, what? I was like, okay, cool. So he didn't know.
He didn't, hey, Chris Stapps,
he couldn't have identified Sting.
Chris Stapps, are you into Wham?
But, yeah, no, he does listen to the radio a lot, apparently. So okay. He kind of knew.
He's listening to the wrong channels.
Yeah, I don't know.
If he's recognizing Roxanne from the radio, man. That song sucks.
I mean, that still gets played a lot.
That song sucks.
Still gets played a lot. Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I just, come on. Sting. I'd rather be the wrestler Sting out there singing than the actual Sting.
You'd rather get stung by a bee.
Right.
Than listen to Sting. I just thought we were going to get this, like, all-out, like, Canadian assault of, like, just an annoying amount of Canadian musicians and celebrities and whatever. So it definitely surprised me.
Maybe he'll bring Bryan Adams out there. Maybe that'll be the surprise. Like, they did it was, like, him, Bryan Adams, and, like, Rod Stewart for, like, half that Robin Hood soundtrack, right? Like, maybe that'll happen.
I could see Drake just, like, interrupting Sting. Just, like, just running out there.
I could see that as well.
Just taking over and then giving him the floor back afterward.
If they sing that, whatever that song, it was, like, All for One or One for Love or something like that. If they sing that, if he brings out Bryan Adams and Rod Stewart and they sing that, I'll be okay with it. Otherwise, like, just, that's my nap time.
Seems possible.
Yeah.
It seems possible.
All right. All right, James. I think that's all the Sting talk we have for today. thanks for the comments about the podcast this week. We've had fun doing them. Subscribe, leave a review on iTunes, because that's how you support us. Read our stuff on CBSSports.com. Follow James on Twitter at OutsideTheNBA for all of your horrible King Cake baby pictures and updates. And we will talk at you later. Thanks, James.
Thank you. Hug your local King Cake baby.